உபக்லேச சூத்த மைனர் டிஃபைன்மெண்ட்ஸ். ஐ ஹர்ட் தஸ் அட் ஒன் டைம் பிளெஸட் ஒன் லிவ்ட் இன் கோசித மோனஸ்ட்ரி இன் கோசாம்பி. At that time, the bhikkhu of Kosambi had arose a quarrel and were quarreling and disputing using rough words to each other. Then a certain bhikkhu approached the Blessed One, worshipped the Blessed One and standing, said thus, Venerable Sir, the bhikkhus of Kosambi have arose a quarrel and are quarreling and disputing using rough words to each other. Good if the Blessed One approached those bhikkhus out of compassion. The Blessed One accepted in silence. Approached those bhikkhus and said, Bhikkhus, give up quarreling, using rough words, and have no disputes. When said thus, certain bhikkhu said to the Blessed One, Venerable Sir, the Lord of the teaching, be unconcerned, keep away. May the Blessed One abide in pleasantness here and now. It is we that will be known in this quarrel, dispute and using rough words. So, that happened three times when Buddha said to them, and they did not listen. And then the Blessed One, putting on robes in the morning, taking bowl and robes, went the arms round in Kosambi, gone the arms round, and when the meal was over, arranged the dwelling, and taking bowl and robes, while standing, said these verses. The foolish do not consider the general opinion. The fact there will be nothing when the community is split. Forgetful of the main name and carried beyond, they do not listen to the words of the wise. I am scolded, beaten, defeated and carried away. The hatred of those that bear such grudges are never appeased. I am scolded, beaten, defeated and carried away. The hatred of those that do not bear such grudges are appeased. In this world, hatred never ceases with hatred. With non-hatred, it ceases. This is the ancient law. This is ancient law is that the, some translate this one as the ageless, endless rule. Some do not know that we have to go from this world. That they know it appease their misapprehensions. Those that cut limbs, destroy life, carry away horses, cattle and wealth, and even ruin the country, they do turn around. That means they concord. Why shouldn't it happen to you? If you gain a clever friend, a wise co-associate, overcoming all troubles, live with him mindfully. If you do not gain a clever, wise co-associate, like the king that leaves behind his rulership and country, go alone like an elephant to the Mathanga remote. Living alone in superb, there should be no association with fools. Living alone, unconcerned, no evil is done, like the elephant living in Mathanga remote. So this Mathanga remote is that it's actually this bull elephant in the elephant jungle, that bull elephant living alone, not with the crowd. I mean this gatha you have heard, this is the akkojimang avadimang hajinimang ahasimi dhammapada gatha. That he scolded me, he shouted me, all those things. And the other one is Nahivereena Verani Sammanti the Pudachana. Avereena Sammanti Yesadammo Samattana. And so those are the gathas you can see. So one part is actually, they say that those that cut limbs, destroy life, carry away horses, cattle and wealth, and even they actually concord, you know, after killing and all those things, they actually come together and okay, you know, they admit their fault or whatever, then they have this, you know, people fight, but they settle afterward. And then Buddha is asking, why can't you do that? These monks, you know, they haven't done that sort of thing. And so I think that dispute is about that water. incident in the toilet, you know, that sort of thing. He left a little bit of water left after using that one, and then, you know, the two parties were fighting for that.
Vinaya
Dara Dharma Dharma. Yeah, yeah.
What happens when you don't really understand the impermanence here? Because you cling to the things that you want others, you expect others to do the way that you do them.
Yeah. And they have gone to two different extremes. I'm Vinaya and I'm, you know, Dhamma, and fighting. The Blessed One, while standing, said these verses and approached the village Bala Kolankara. At that time, Venerable Bahu lived in that village. Seeing the Blessed One approaching in the distance, Venerable Bahu prepared a seat and placed water to wash the feet. And Blessed One sat on the prepared seat and washed his feet. Venerable Bahu, to worship the Blessed One, and sat on the side. Then Blessed One said, "Bhikkhu, are you all right? Do you have any fatigue or into want of morsel food?" Venerable Sir, "I am all right. I have no fatigue or into lack of morsel food." Then the Blessed One advised, instructed, and made the heart of Venerable Bahu light with talk on the teaching, and getting up from the seat, approached the Eastern Royal Park. At that time, Venerable Anuruddha Nandiya Kimbala were abiding in the Royal Eastern Park. The groupkeeper saw the Blessed One coming in the distance and said, "Recluse, do not enter this forest. There are the three sons of clansmen abiding here seeking their own good. Do not inconvenience them." So Venerable Anuruddha heard this conversation between the groupkeeper and the Blessed One and told the groupkeeper, "Do not obstruct the Blessed One. It is our teacher, the Blessed One." Venerable Anuruddha addressed Venerable Nandiya and Kimbila, "Come, Venerable Ones, our teacher has arrived." Then Venerable Anuruddha, Nandiya and Kimbila approached the Blessed One, accepted bowl and robes from the Blessed One. One prepared a seat and another administered water to wash the feet. The Blessed One sat on a prepared seat and washed his feet. Those Venerable Ones worshipped the Blessed One and sat on a side. The Blessed One addressed the Venerable Anuruddha, "Anuruddha, are you all right? Do you have any fatigue going to want of morsel food?" "Venerable Sir, we are all right. We have no fatigue going to lack of morsel food." "Anuruddha, are you united and friendly without a dispute, like milk and water? And do you abide seeing each other with friendly eyes?" "Venerable Sir, we are united like milk and water, friendly without a dispute, and abide seeing each other with friendly eyes." "Anuruddha, how do you abide united like milk and water, friendly without a dispute, seeing each other with friendly eyes?" "Venerable Sir, this thought occurred to me. It is gain for me that I live with such co-associate in the holy life. So I abide with bodily actions of loving kindness towards these Venerable Ones, openly and secretly, with verbal actions of loving kindness towards these Venerable Ones, openly and secretly, with mental actions of loving kindness towards these Venerable Ones, openly and secretly. Sometimes it occurs to me, what if I discard my thoughts and concede to thoughts of these Venerable Ones? So I discard my thoughts and concede to the thoughts of these Venerable Ones." Venerable Sir, we are very, very same bodies and one in mind. So you can see how they are, you know, together. And I can give up my thoughts, you know, their thoughts is better, sort of thinking, right? So it's
That's what we never do. My thought is the best thought.
That's right. And I mean, they are actually really lucky to have that such a companion. You know, three are so united in that thing. And while the other bhikkhus were fighting, and these three were really friendly. So
this, what is called, I abide with bodily action, loving kindness towards these friendable ones, and openly and sincerely, and also verbal, bodily and mental, and so it is generally a thought about respecting each other.
Well, loving kindness. From your mind, you spread the loving kindness towards them. And so that's the normal loving kindness meditation, for example. And then you verbalize it. You know, that when you are talking also, you don't have any harsh speech. And that sort of thing, harming speeches for that those people. And the, you know, the good words, you know, the right words, good words are expressed. And then the bodily actions also, that, I mean, that one is explained a little bit later as well. And when they actually go for alms food, or whoever comes early, they actually prepare the whole place for others and bring water. And so
it's like because I read this last night, and it's like when we had you know see the things in the kitchen sink, and I was thinking actually when this is not only happening at home, it's happening everywhere at work or community places or anywhere. And then when you see something in the sink, and then you will do that, but you start complaining, isn't it? And that's the point that you don't get. And it's in this society, it is not like that. Something isn't done, somebody
the other one
do
is simply doing it.
And also, this is very much related to Eightfold Path. Right action, right
going towards that one. But right speech is there, and then the mind is pure, and then the other actions. The livelihood is good as well.
I think it's
how it is beautiful if everybody practice like that.
Why don't you do it at home? It will be good.
I didn't want to come that many comments on what she thought. But nowadays, actually, what is happening? What she expects, because when I saw something in the sink, I wash it. Didn't I? That's what I told the other day.
I do as well. So
that is the best thing I learned from loving kindness meditation. Because when we are spreading, we are thinking about other people, that we all those things. First thing is we have to look at all those things, right? And be him happy and all those things.
That's right.
If I make trouble, that is against what I needed, right?
If you complain, you just keep on complaining and angry and that one. But when it is done, that the other person is happy, I am happy, and everybody is happy. So it's that's the way to live as well. And again, sometimes you can't do certain instances.
And again, I what I was thinking after reading this, and before I read someone other sutra also, and actually because the way people get together in this life is the way that you meant to, that you get the, you know, like the, it's a consequences, that's how you pay off for what you have done. I think if you cannot change it, isn't it?
Because there is a karma part.
Yeah.
There is the other parts as well, what we do at that particular time. So it is that, because of the karma, that these things actually happening in that, in a way, certain way to, you know, individuals. And so one can actually change these things. I mean, these are minor things.
But sometimes, why doesn't it happen? Because sometimes some real stories you can hear on the radio and anything. Some people get children that who would ruin the whole thing, and maybe a drug addict, or maybe killing parents or something like that. So no, I thought these are the previous, you know, the
previous karmas. That plays quite a lot over there. Significantly, so
it's like that, what's in the Dhammapada, isn't it? It's the karma coming behind that,
like a shadow. It is. And so So, I mean, since we discussed that what those monks are doing, you know, when bringing water and that one, so we sort of skip that part. Now, so Buddha was asking, after hearing this, have you attained some distinctive knowledge, a pleasant abiding above him, you know, that living like this? And so then the Venerable Anuruddha said that, Venerable Sir, when abiding diligent to dispel, we perceived light manifestation and actually it's not beautiful forms, it's forms. It's translated, it's actually beautiful forms, it's forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time, and we did not understand that sign, why it is actually happening.
So what is this actually perceiving light manifestation mean?
Okay, perceiving light is actually when you meditate and the light arises. If you close your eye and you meditate and then you see the light, the white light, it depends on that person, the light arises with you. And you may or may not be paying attention to it. I mean, I did not pay attention to that one for a long time, until I was told, right, that why light was coming for me, because that I have done this one for a long time, about 32 million years or something. But in the past births, I have done this. So whoever actually do this meditation about the Eightfold Path or whatever thing it is, when your mind becomes pure, you perceive the light. It will happen to you when you do the meditation. And
it becomes pleasurable, right? Isn't it so?
Well, the pleasure, yeah, pleasure. Well, you have reached the this is beyond pleasurable state. You first get the pleasurable state,
yeah,
and then you and get then, the light.
And then when you have that state, don't you have that?
You do
pleasure?
Have that one as well.
Yeah.
With pleasure also you see light.
Right.
Without pleasure also you see light. Now, this is the last part of the thing that Buddha is also telling. You see the light all the time if you actually have the concentration.
Mm.
And that light can be developed. Mm. That light can be developed. So this is actually how Buddha developed this light. Mm. So when you say light, you see that there are this is called Dibba Chakku. This light is actually Dibba Chakku. Mm. So we have mind's chakku, that is this eye normally, fleshly eye. And Dibba Chakku is divine eye. And then Prajna Chakku, Chakku is actually the eye of wisdom. From the divine eye, one would get the eye of wisdom. From the eye of wisdom, we actually see. That's the knowledge Buddha got at the end, after developing this one. Buddha got the knowledge, this divine eye arose, and with the divine eye, the Prajna Chakku arose. And from that one, he could see birth to birth, and these people actually passing from here, being arise over here. It's like a person entering the village and getting out of the village. Likewise, he could see that these beings, remember the first watch of the night, Buddha got the knowledge about recalling past births, his ones and other ones. The second watch, this is the one that arose. That is the light, the divine eye. And then he could see that these beings, having done these bad things, come, they'll be born over here. So this is very important and difficult, as you can see. This is so how difficult it is.
So light and forms is samsara.
Well, forms is objects. Okay, so that you are a form for me. Like that. So these forms are not simply normal forms. They are normal forms, well as the other beings, divine beings. And there's another discourse that goes with this one. And Buddha clearly says over there that those forms, that those divine beings that he has seen. And so with the light manifestation, you actually see forms.
And there are six different things, isn't it? you develop, is it? Because I can remember after I read this yesterday, I read something else. There are
Dibba Chakku, Dibba Sota, hearing, and all the not six, quite a lot. Quite a lot of psychic powers one can actually develop. Being one, become many. So that the question is why they are disappearing. Anuruddha, that sign should be understood earlier when I was seeker of enlightenment, that is Bodhisattva. I too pursued light manifestation and beautiful forms, and they disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that doubt arose to me, that is vichikicca. On account of doubts, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, the light manifestation and forms disappeared. I attended to it in such a manner so that doubts do not arise again. So this doubt is actually, you see, that you see some sort of a form. And so you are meditating and you see a form with you, with the light. And then you actually sort of think, well, am I imagining, you know, this particular form? Am I imagining or is it real? Am I actually seeing these things real? I mean, I had this experience. And I was actually thinking, oh, why am I actually seeing actual this thing? And then I actually, with the other facts, then I actually found that it is true, I actually see these things. And so the first one is about the doubts. And I can remember another instance that I actually see things, and I see the book on the left side of the book rack. I don't have a book rack in front of me, but in the garage, beyond the walls, I can see a particular book, I can see the whole thing. So after the meditation, I went and checked. It is actually on the right side, but I see it as a left. So left and right actually turn somehow in this thing. So I'm getting a different signal, right? So the concentration is not pure. That's what it is. And so there is this doubt. And then when next time when you see something, then you are actually thinking, is it actually left or right? You know, so it's like that.
So then you cannot concentrate.
You can't concentrate. It's
not through your eyes.
No, my closed eyes. Yeah. I can see far away, even the other worlds from that one. It could later develop quite a lot. And when abiding diligent to dispel, I pursued light manifestation and beautiful forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that none at attention arose to me, that is this amanasikara. On account of not attending, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, the light manifestation and forms disappeared. I attended to it such a manner so that doubts and non-attention do not arise again. So over here, if I say it in single, I say, Mama kisivak minnehi nokarami yana adahasa. That he actually had, during the meditation, he saw, see light and forms. And then, let's say you are doing the Eightfold Path meditation. And then you see the light and the forms. Now, it's not part of the Eightfold Path meditation. And then you think, okay, I just ignore all these things. I'm not going to pay any attention to the either light or the form. Since you are not paying any attention, that one disappeared. Whatever thing you are paying attention, that one will appear. That is the Eightfold Path meditation about the Dharma. So amanasikara. So that's the.
But if you don't think of anything, it's just the concentration, nothing would happen.
Yeah, it's the concentration, yes. And then you actually have the light.
Yeah.
It's like this. You actually switch on the torch. Okay. The torch has the light. You can either ignore the torch. You don't have to look at the light. You don't have to look at the form that, because of the torch you actually see some sort of a thing. You can ignore that one and you can ignore the light as well. Both can be ignored. And so the concentration is there. That concentration may be to Eightfold Path or Nibbana sort of thing, but not to those objects. And when abiding diligent to dispel, I pursued light manifestation and forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, so why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that sloth and torpor rose to me. On account of sloth and torpor, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, light manifestation and forms disappeared. I attended to it such a manner so that doubts and unattention and sloth and torpor do not arise again. So sloth and torpor is that the sickness of the mind and sickness of the mental state, one of the hindrances, and Thina Midda in Pali. So that means you are lethargic, you know, that for example, if you actually keep on perceiving these things as well, and then you get fed up. Why would I actually see this thing and that object and this object, and what's the use of sort of thing as is coming? And then, so the sloth and torpor is also coming with that. When abiding and diligent to dispel, I pursued light manifestation and forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that fear arose to me. On account of fear, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, light manifestation and forms disappeared. Like a man come on the highway followed by murderers on both sides, has arisen fear on both sides. In the same manner, fear arose to me. On account of fear, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, light manifestation and forms disappeared. I attended to it such manner so that doubts, non-attention, sloth and torpor and fear do not arise again. This is the Pali word, is the chambitta, tatiganima, in Sinhala. It is that probably Buddha has seen, the evil one. So, you know, the sort of, he is actually meditating overnight, you know, keep on meditating night time and seeing these things. Who knows what he saw, you know, that fear arose. And again, you can see in the next one is that when he was actually again, light manifestation disappeared, and this time the jubilation arose to me. On account of jubilation, my concentration faded. That is this adhika pritya, elation. The Pali word is ubbilam. So even if you have the rapture, and so Buddha actually giving a good example over here, like a man in search of one treasure was to come to five treasures at one and the same time, in the same manner, jubilation arose to me. On account of jubilation, my concentration faded. So when he actually see these forms and that one, then rapture is arising. So he's happy that he's actually seen the forms. The light is there, forms are there, and the rapture is also there. You know, so happy, and then with that one, then you get the attention to rapture and not to attention to the light and the forms. So then those other things vanishes. So then Buddha set his mind not to happen that one as well. And then the next one is about the distress. That this time light manifestation disappeared is translated over here as wickedness. It is not wickedness actually, it doesn't give a good idea. It is actually the distress. So on account of distress, my concentration faded. So Buddha actually set out a condition so that it neither have distress and sloth and torpor and all the other things. When abiding, diligent to dispel, I pursued light manifestation and forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that too much aroused effort had arisen to me. On account of too much effort, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, the light manifestation and forms disappeared. Like a man who holds hand caught firmly with both hands, who die with it, in the same manner, and with the too much arose effort had arisen to me. On account of too much effort, my concentration faded. When the concentration faded, that manifestation and forms disappeared. I attended to it in such a manner so that doubts, non-attention, sloth and torpor, fear, jubilation, distress and too much effort do not arise again. See, the too much effort is actually, you can see that you having pursued this the forms and the lie, and you are doing it for the next day. You want to do further and further, right? To see, because we have this craving for doing very quickly and doing that one. So effort is to, and you actually see, you get the tension over here as well. I mean, I have done this one as well. You get the tension as well because you want to see this world and the other world and sort of thing. It goes on, and so you are tired even you are doing that one as well. And so, because of that one, the concentration faded. And again, Buddha said, when abiding diligent to dispel, I pursued light manifestation and beautiful forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that I had aroused little effort, and this time, not much effort, because the previous one is too much effort, and this one is little effort. And
I mean, doing it a stretch or just practice?
The little effort?
No, the whole thing, like these stages.
No, it is Buddha is doing that one, keep on doing, day and night, many, I mean, this meditation, Buddha has done this one for many, you know, many days, many months, this one. And so, keep on doing the meditation, same meditation, many months. Practicing the same thing, day and night, night and day. And this light, pursuing this light, one has to do when there are about 16 ways as well doing this one. And he pursue light at night, daytime. You know that you can even do this one by just look at the, you know, the when in the sunny day, you pursue light and then you close your eyes and you have the perception of light. But I'm not talking about the objects that you have seen because of the light. Okay, so the perception of the light alone. And then you recall to your mind that light in the meditation time. So now you can see that light, that perception about the light is actually there. This light can be made vast and it can be made bigger, you know, like a size of the moon and sort of way. And so it's like a become a torch type thing. And then you can actually try to see from the light. So that is actually, first you are lighting up the torch and you are not looking at any objects. You are actually focusing on the light. And next you actually use the torch and you look at the objects using the torch. So these are the two different, there's a form and the light, both. And so in the meditation, Buddha perceived the light at the daytime and the same light, the same way at the night time, without fading that light. And whatever you do at tatta diva tatta rati, that's the words that they were using. So you pursue the light at night time and the same way you pursue the light at the daytime. So you can see how he was maintaining the light. There are a number of discourses on this one.
But it's so developed the concentration, isn't it?
It is.
Otherwise you can't, because so many other thoughts, even though you start like that, the next minute there's something else would come to you.
Yeah, but this light meditation actually has got, this is vipassana, this is not samatha. This light meditation has got a tremendous thing that I cannot explain. If you get the light, you are concentrated. When you are concentrated, you have the light. So it's counterparts, you know, that the way it works. And you are happy as well in that sense, because you see the development and this. So it's a certain state. I mean, you all get that one during the meditation, but you may not be actually fine-tuned to it to maintain it. That's the issue. And so this is the too little effort. And then the next one is that again the light manifestation disappeared. Then that is too much striving. So Buddha actually put effort get rid of all those doubts, non-attention, sloth and torpor, fear, jubilation, wickedness, that is distress, too much effort, too little effort, too much striving. And again Buddha had the same situation where we are perceiving light and light manifestation and beautiful and forms. The light manifestation and forms disappeared in no time. Then it occurred to me, why did my light manifestation and forms disappear? I knew that thinking too much about form, it had happened. On account of thinking too much about forms, my concentration faded. That this is nanatta sanya. So you are actually thinking about this form, that form, this form, that form, and keep on perceiving forms. So because of that one, you know, that you can see even a child, when he's looking at many things, he get fed up with all those things. Likewise, and because Buddha can now actually see many, and so concentration faded. So Buddha actually set out the condition so that he is actually not, this is not going to happen again, that the various perceptions is not coming into play. Anuruddha, I knew that doubts is a minor defilement of the mind and dispelled it. Knew that non-attention is a minor defilement of the mind and dispelled it. Knew that sloth and torpor is a minor defilement of the mind and dispelled it. Knew that fear is a minor defilement of the mind and dispelled it. Knew that jubilation is a minor defilement. Wickedness, that is distress, too much arose effort, and too little effort, and the various perceptions are minor defilements. So all those things are minor defilements. You know, they are not that great. These are called upaklesha. And at this particular point, actually, there is a part missing in this English translation. The missing part is that Buddha was saying that Buddha was pursuing day and night. I saw material shapes but did not pursue light manifestation. So now imagine that the scenario of the torch, that you see the objects. You know, when you put the torch on, you can actually see the objects. So you actually pursue only objects but not the light, day and night. And day and night, he can actually perceive light but no object. So you can actually focusing on to the light of the torch but not to the objects. See, there are two different things. So, and then Buddha was thinking why it is actually happening. The reason is that how one would actually perceive material shapes but not pursue light manifestation is that paying attention to material shapes. So if you pay the attention to material shapes, then you have the forms that you see but not the light. But if you first pay the attention to light, then you see the light. So that is natural, isn't it? Whatever thing you pay attention to, that's the one that is coming up. And then when I was abiding diligent to dispel throughout the night, throughout the day, throughout the night and day, I pursued limited light manifestation and so limited forms. Forms. I pursued limitless light manifestation and so limitless forms. It occurred to me, what is the reason that throughout the night, throughout the day, throughout the night and day, I pursued limited light manifestation and see limited forms. I pursued limitless light manifestation and see limitless forms. Anuruddha, it occurred to me, when my concentration is limited, my knowledge is limited. With limited knowledge, I pursue limited light manifestation and see limited forms. When my concentration is limitless, my knowledge is limitless. With limitless knowledge, I pursue limitless light manifestation and see limitless forms throughout the night, throughout the day, throughout the night and day. It is actually paritta samadhi leading to the paritta chakku. Paritta chakku, paritta obhasam, paritta rupa. Because of the concentration is limited, one would pursue the eye is now limited. The translated as the knowledge, it is actually dipa chakku, is actually limited. when the Divya Chakku is limited, what you perceive is also limited. And then the Apramana Samadhi, when there is Apramana Samadhi, the concentration, limitless concentration, then the I is also limitless. And then the forms are limitless. Then Anuruddha, when these minor defilements such as doubts, non-attention, sloth and torpor, fear, jubilation, distress, too much arose effort, too little effort, various perceptions, thinking too much about forms were dispelled, it occurred to me, now these minor defilements are dispelled. See, Buddha was successful getting rid of all those conditions that we mentioned so far. How good he is at that particular time to get rid of all these conditions without a teacher, himself doing this one and finding the path. And it occurred to me, now these mind defilements are dispelled and I should develop concentration in threefold manner. So what is this threefold manner? Then I develop concentration with thoughts and discursive thoughts. Savitakka Savichara is the word. Develop concentration without thoughts and thinking discursively, that is avitakka vichara. And next one is avitakka avichara, that is that without discursive thoughts and the discursive, this initial application and sustained application. So the initial application means that we have actually discussed this one quite a lot as well. The initial application is something like a bee coming to the flower. So bee is coming to the flower is the initial application. And the guy rooting around the flower is the sustained application. Or else if you want to see a king, then you would actually use his associates, you know, the king's ministers or someone. You know, otherwise you can't go and see the king. So first you introduce the king and talk with him. And then next time when you're coming in, that the soldier will allow one to go in into that one because he's known, right? So the initial application is no longer needed, so it's sustained. So likewise, this initial application vitakka is that the nekamma, you know, giving up these things, sensuous desires and all those things.
That is basically when you meditate, you do at the beginning, you do certain things very vastly, mm-hmm. and later on, you know all those things and it suddenly comes up to the level,
yep.
and then you start from that level.
That's right. Yeah. That is, you are actually in the, it is in the background. Because you have done it's like a preparing food in a way that you have actually cut down all those things and everything is there. You know, then you can use it any time. Like that, you have done all the preparations, necessary preparations. One can actually do without any need for revisiting and doing that again and again once prepared. And that is the three one. And again Buddha said that he developed the concentration with joy and without joy, and developed concentration with equanimity. So first one is that the preeti sahito, you get the concentration in the second, first jhana, and the second jhana you have the rapture. So that these things also actually develop with the rapture. And in the third jhana, you can see the rapture ceases and there is pleasure. So with the pleasure also develop this concentration. And then if you are indifferent to the concentration that has arisen, then one would reach the equanimity level. So
is the rapture ceasing or rapture that you don't pay attention?
Rapture ceases, mm-hmm. because that it says vupasama, that is the rapture comes in and first you really like it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's one kind of experience that one has got, and you know, I want today and I want tomorrow as mm-hmm. well in the sense that in the meditation time, but you don't have sort of, it's not a defilement, it is you don't like these sense pleasures, you are not actually have any cravings or things like that. But when you sit down for the meditation, if it is not coming up, then your mind is a bit troubled. Why it's not coming up over there? Right? So that means there is this sign of the rapture. And you like it. And sort of thing. So, after you know, having that one for a long time, if you actually feel your real name is the Nibbana, and when this is flowing like a water and things like that one, you don't want that one. So you are happy to go away with that one. But with the rapture, there is this pleasure. In the first jhana also, there is this pleasure. Now the rapture ceases, that the pleasure becomes significant. So now you live with the pleasure in the third jhana level. Now, pleasure, when the pleasure is there, that your mind is sort of biased, because that you, for everything you pursue, you actually seek for the pleasure. Because our mind is biased for the pleasure. And so you become indifferent to the pleasure, because I don't want the pleasure either. And so when one is indifferent, then you reach the equanimity state. So having reached the equanimity state, that put the develop this the concentration. So then the knowledge and vision arose, and I knew that my release is unshakable. This is my last birth, there is no more birth. Okay, so this one is actually Buddha, although with finishing this one, it has got a little bit more parts in another discourse. It's actually called, this is in the Chapala Vagga, this is called Gayasissa Suttam in Anguttara Nikaya. And over here Buddha is saying that he pursued this light and forms, and then Buddha was thinking, if I actually develop this one, then my knowledge and vision should be more pure if I develop this thing. And so Buddha was developing this one, and then Buddha actually pursued the forms and the light, and then Buddha saw these gods, and Buddha was saying that I did not stand with those gods, did not talk with them and discuss with them. So these forms are now the divine beings. And then Buddha thought that if I actually talk to them, have discussions, then my knowledge will be more. So then he actually did the meditation in such a way so he can actually talk to them and you know, have a conversation. And having that one, then Buddha actually talked to them, and Buddha did not know that to which group these gods are belonging to. You know, the Tustavati Sadeva, Tusita Deva, or the Brahma, or which class. And then Buddha could actually know about it as well, learn, you know, that where, what class. And then Buddha did not know at that time whether they, having done what over here, they be born in that one. That's the karma part. He did not know how they are, these things. And there's another one that Buddha did not know, that whether Buddha was actually, you know, the Buddha Bodhisattva was born with them before or not. So Buddha actually learned all these things, you know, with the meditation. So the light that he developed, you know, getting rid of every one of those defilements. And every time he put up some sort of a condition so that he can actually reach the next state. And then so there are eight things over here. So Buddha actually mastered those eight things. You know, that Buddha knew that the Buddha was, Bodhisattva was born with them and live with them. What is their actions? And the last one is the lifespan. How long they are going to live as well. And Buddha said that until my knowledge and vision of higher gods in this eightfold cycle was completely pure, I did not acknowledge my rightful enlightenment to the world together with his gods and Mara. So that's the end of this, you know, after this.
The name, Chapala Vagga, Anguttara Nikaya.
This one is Gayasissa Sutta, you can have this one. Yeah, so fortunately Buddha got that knowledge. Since Buddha got that knowledge, then he could actually, you know, destroy, destruct these cankers and those things. When we have a Buddha, if he was not successful, we wouldn't have any Buddhism today. So this is the second knowledge, Dibbacakku, from the Dibbacakku Prajnachakku.
How far the the others went Alarakamputra and...
No, they didn't develop these things. They actually developed these, how to attain the eight dhyana, you know, the nimasanyana, asanya, that sort of planes. That's all. And having attained...
They didn't develop the wisdom.
No, they thought that the Nibbana.
Mm.
That is the part. Because they thought, now this is it. This is the last point, you know, that having developed that one, that's it. And live with that one. And Buddha, Bodhisattva knew because of his paramita and things that this is not it. It is not finished yet. And so these two knowledges, and with that one, I mean, this is realistically speaking, when you actually can see how you have this, with the first knowledge, you have the birth, aging, sickness, death. So you see the suffering. And then you see the cause of suffering as well. Having done this, you know, you become like this one. So you can see what is going on with the life. And so then he got the knowledge to distract all the cankers. That was the third knowledge. It's a good discourse. And it's really nice to hear that the quarreling monks and then the Honorable Anuruddhas and how they were delighting and living with each other. And how Buddha got the knowledge.
What's the link there? What was he trying to point out?
Well, no, it was actually happening as the occurrence of that one. Buddha left these monks and he was going to the forest because Buddha didn't want to live with these quarreling monks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how that was ended is that since Buddha left, the people did not actually respect monks and didn't give dana and sort of thing. And then they realized that, okay, that's why we are not being treated.
Is that the instance Buddha went to forest and three, four months?
That's one of the instances. Buddha went to the several times. That some other time Buddha wanted to do the meditation or the seclusion.
Mm.
This is after enlightenment, right?
This is after enlightenment.
So, what are the use of like practicing it, doing it? Because as he has already enlightened.
Well, you attain Nibbana. You are actually having the cessation of feeling and perception.
Mm-hmm.
So, living it that way. I mean, if someone hasn't got any craving,
mm-hmm.
okay, he doesn't have any craving to even to teach Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
There's no craving to teach Dhamma either. There's no craving whatsoever.
Mm.
Imagine that person is actually, when he attaining cessation of feeling and perception, attaining Nibbana, that's the best for him.
Mm.
But out of compassion for people, he is actually doing this one. And those 3 months, we really do not know if the Buddha actually... if I take this Sila Sutta, for example, in Sila Sutta, Venerable Sariputta is telling for an arahant there is nothing to be done. But if an arahant actually perceive that this, you know, the impermanent nature, suffering and that one, then that is the abiding easiness. The abiding easiness when you do that one. So, likewise, Buddha is probably abiding in easiness. And you can see that the monks or the quarreling monks are telling Buddha to go and abide in easiness. As well. And so, why?
Is that the reason once that one of the arahants that killed himself?
Arahants did not kill himself, no.
Why that sick monk?
No. He was not an arahant.
At the time?
No. He was, when he was killing himself, then he actually applied the meditation and became an arahant. Arahants never destroy anything.
I thought whether he couldn't abide all these things.
No. They can. Because they don't have that second dart, only the first dart coming to the body. So that is the bodily feeling. They bear. Before we stop for today.